Podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast as we are in our final installment of the 2017-18 NBA regular season preview. I know it's a mouthful because it's been a mouthful for us to speak about all 30 of the teams, but we're finally at the cusp of it. We're finally at the tippy top, the cream of the crop. We got a little bit of house cleaning before that regarding some of the teams that we had already previewed, which had recent developments, but we'll get to those teams at the top. My name is Andrew Reich. I'm one of your co-hosts here at the PTBN NBA Team Podcast. I can't believe I almost forgot the name of my own podcast. And I am joined by my co-host, Adam Murray. Can you say the entire name of our podcast?
The ANBA Team?
The ANBA Team? Who's the BNBA Team?
The ANBA Team. Oh, we are Italian now. We speak like a Mario.
Do you feel kind of tired? Do you feel relieved? With this season preview, as we finally finish, you know, this is the fourth year we've done it. The first year is always the most exciting because it's the first time you're trying and you're doing new things. And you know, now with it, the fourth one, you know, it's always a different landscape in the league. Did you feel like some of them were a little harder to slug through? Did you feel like some of them you're really more jonesing to do?
This year, there was so much drama. So many teams had changes. It led to, as opposed to, okay, here's the same teams, here's the same, nothing's going to change, nothing is better. You know, it was like every preview was Orlando. It's like, this is, you're going to do it? No, they're going to be horrible still. Whereas, well, they changed dramatically. Now that we're getting to the end, it's just going to be sort of anticlimactic because we know who's going to be in the finals again like it is every year. And that's going to be unexciting once we hit the end. But it's been fun.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like what happened with the conference finals where, you know, even though Boston kind of gave Cleveland a quick scare, wow, how that's changed when we go to these teams. It just felt like, oh, this is over. And then with Golden State, when Kawhi went down, it was like, oh, the Spurs have no chance against the Warriors. Like, is that the sort of anticlimactic feeling you're talking about? Or do you feel like all these teams are, like, legit good and have a chance at the championship unless Golden State just totally falters?
The NBA released their GM poll, and 28 of the 30 said the Warriors are going to win again. So people, I don't think, are that excited for Warriors-Cavs 4. It's just, this, you know, by the time it's just like the same thing every year, and, you know, leading up to it is going to be great, but if we just have the same two, if Cleveland runs through Boston or Washington and Golden State, you know, sweeps the Western and just be like, oh,
yeah,
we don't...
If Houston doesn't have enough to hang with them, that kind of thing.
Yeah, if it's just two easy routes again, it's just like, well, we're we don't want to see this anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, you might get to the 0 hour there depending on Klay Thompson, what he wants to do when his contract runs out. Did you read the comment he said about how he might be willing? I don't think he necessarily said he's willing to take less to stay in Golden State, but that they would like to try to get to six championships, even though the quote was, well, we're almost halfway there, like it wasn't a big deal. It's like, well, yeah, you know, winning four more titles is like incredibly hard. You know, but do you feel like that 2018 or the end of the 2019 season might be kind of 0 hour for the Warriors?
It comes to, I guess we're going to start our list backwards and start with the Warriors, but it's basically it's theirs as long as they want to keep paying that luxury tax, because you could say, oh, Klay's going to take a discount, but they're still so far over there. They're, you know, the repeater tax and the repeater tax, repeater tax. A couple episodes ago, you were like, they're going to be owing $200 million or something.
Yeah, because of the fact that it triples when you're in the repeater tax phase, which is actually the same phase as Cleveland was, but thanks to the trade that they made, they were able to unload a lot of that tax bill, which was a bit of a... which was a hindrance for Dan Gilbert, of course. Now, he made a promise to LeBron that he would pay whatever he had to pay in order to be competitive, in order to satisfy LeBron. But for the Warriors, and they have some deep pockets. They have a new arena that they're opening up. Isn't this the first NBA team ever to do PSLs? Is that correct?
I believe so. But there's a big difference between, you know, writing an $80 million check and still making money. But if you have an operating income negative, and which you see in the future, like, oh, we're going to win the championship, but we still are going to lose $40 million.
And then there's the revenue sharing part where you're not getting every piece of that
even
pie.
Even after revenue sharing, you're not going to get that piece back because you're a luxury tax. And you're just, well, we straight up just lost $50 million. I don't, you know, the owners will, that's great, that's great, that's wonderful. But as the price tag keeps rising and, you know, as, you know, these players start getting older, because, yeah, they're great now because they're in their prime. But what's going to happen in 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, well, the title of this class is The Warrior's Way, because obviously they're the standard bearer. But let's actually just put a quick stop to that, and we'll be able to get back to them. We got to do a little bit of cleaning up on some of the other teams that we had previewed. The biggest one, of course, anybody would listen to the installments because we had done some of the recordings in advance, is the Carmelo Anthony trade to Oklahoma City. Adam, what did you think of the Knicks' return on it? Obviously, they were over a barrel with Melo. He was unhappy. He had molded over in the summer, felt like he didn't want to make it work there anymore. So they unloaded him to Oklahoma City in exchange for Enes Kanter, Doug McDermott, and I think it was a second-round pick. I don't know what second-round pick that was, unless you have it in front of you.
It does. You have that high second-round pick as opposed to they're all meaningless. And
yes.
It could all be bought for $3 million. I wouldn't say they're over a barrel. Like, it was just when it came down, it's like, well, it's media day. Well, we don't want the New York media to come in and just start feasting on everything and then just start ruining everything with the, you know, the stories. Let's just get the kids in, just get them play. And I guess, you know, the big loser of this is just Houston, because I guess Ryan Anderson officially has the most untradeable contract now.
It's him and Jakeem Noah. Yeah, Noah and him are close.
It's we you know, hey, we'll offer Ryan Anderson to anybody. Nope, we don't want him. He's garbage. Well, but he can play. He can score.
Well, it's one of the weird thing is that he had a very good year, but you're looking at the projected path with the remainder of the contract, which by the end of 2022 you're looking at, my God, is this guy even going to be able to stay on the court? That kind
of thing. And he's just a stretch. He's a stretch four, so he's going to provide nothing on defense. Mm-hmm. Down low. So it's just like, well, you know, the fact they got Enes Kanter is better than Ryan Anderson, I would say. You got somebody who wants to play. Yeah, he can't play defense, but there's a lot of people who can't play defense. So
go ahead.
You know, you got Doug McDermott, who's a tradable asset. I don't think he's part of the future, especially with Tim Hardaway.
He's an RFA coming up, so New York has to make their own choice there of what they want to do with him.
Yeah,
they don't have the loyalty unless he just balls out at the guard and the crowd starts to kind of like, you know, to like him, and maybe he finds a niche there with Jeff Hornacek, who always wanted to be more of an offensively minded coach. He'll have the freedom now to do so. Kanter, everyone knows the story with him. He's terrible in pick and roll defense. Very good offensive big man, but he's not a good rebounder really at all. Do you think he can fit well in New York?
I don't see why he wouldn't be able to fit well, because it's just young kids right now, with the exception of old man Courtney Lee and Joakim Noah, who don't, you know, Courtney Lee should be probably shipped out because he's in $10 million, so he's reasonable.
Yes.
So you just have, it's like every other rebuilding thing. You have young kids who want to play. If one of them starts to, you know, step up, that's good for them.
Over under we had at 30.5 for Vegas. I said over, and I'm gonna tell you this. I'm not trying to poo poo on Carmelo Anthony's exit or him being a cancer, which he's been accused of being many, many times. I think I actually would stay over on the Knicks. I actually think they might be a little bit better because they'll be able to pivot everything to Porzingis.
I still say under because you're pivoting everything to Porzingis, who we don't know how good he's gonna be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was stifled last year, but. So we're expecting him to all of a sudden become this superstar? You know, he's still only the third year in the league. He's only, what, 20, 21? So,
yes.
Not everybody has that Carl Anthony Towns trajectory of just superstar to day one.
The unicorn. Yeah, unicorn mentality. Like, yeah, it's like, how far can he go?
It was, well, you know, he's a unicorn, but at the same time, he's a big man who could shoot threes. Yeah, that's he brought excitement to the Garden where there absolutely wasn't. Just had old people and their own slogging mentality, and all of a sudden he comes up with his son. I didn't say he's, you know, a superstar, put up super all-star numbers.
And now for the Thunder side, I don't remember the over-under that they had. Has that been adjusted since they made the addition?
It's probably been adjusted. It'll probably be the over.
To 54.5 probably instead of 51.5 would be the anticipation for me. Because a lot of people feel like they're lapping the Spurs and the Rockets. We had them in the tier below this. Like, would you have second thoughts and put them in this tier?
Well, fine. You can put them in the tier. Everybody wants them in this tier. Now everybody thinks they're going to make a run. But we failed to address, you're putting Carmelo at the 4 in the West. Carmelo in the 4 in the East will work. You're going to put Carmelo against Draymond. You're going to put him against Anthony Towns. You're going to put him against Cousins.
LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, a lot of more traditional bigs, you know, or guys that are more powerful or stronger.
Blake Griffin, Paul Millsap. You think he's going to stop any of those people or want to be down low against any of them?
Well, there's also the new media spin of, oh, he's reinvigorated. He's got the energy now. He'll want to try harder, that whole thing.
Oh, yeah, he's happy and he's good, and we should be seeing, you know, Olympic Mellow with his, you know, superior...
I am so tired hearing Olympic Mellow.
Superior mid-range game.
Because it's like this idea of, oh, now that he's with good teammates instead of this shit show he had in New York, he'll be reinvigorated and he's going to be like a super-duper all-star player again. I have to see it to believe it.
He still was a super-duper all-star player then in New York. His numbers, look at his numbers. His numbers are still very good. It's just you get put with the media and you get put with the New York media who just wants to tear you down immediately. And, well, hey, you know, you were 9 for 15 for 25 points. Hey, why'd you miss those 6 shots?
Here's a strange one. Can he be a point forward for them and Russell be a gunner?
No, because that would just slow the team down.
Okay. Not endorsing it, just a thought. Because he is a 3-assist-per-game guy at New York.
Well, yeah, because New York, the ball had to go through him. Mm-hmm. And he would just be the ball stopper and then just take his mid-range shot. So
true.
If he passes, that's because, well, somebody was so wide open, he can't miss it, but... Everything has to go through Westbrook the same way everything had to go through Melo. And, yeah, okay, he's fine with being the second, third fiddle. But, again, him and Paul George, just we're playing out of position. When playoff time comes, it's just going to be – he's going to be just battered and beaten down by the
end of it. It's like the Milwaukee Bucks but with more star power. Is that a fair way of putting it?
Well, it's the Milwaukee Bucks with even less of a bench. And, you know, it'll be interesting to watch that team. I don't think they're going to be as great as everybody says they are. But again, we've reached the new age where apparently positions don't matter. And we can have, you know, look at Houston, New Orleans, Boston, even Cleveland. Just, well, we don't care. We'll just put those 5 guys out there. They'll know how to play together.
I mean, there's going to be some more developments, obviously, after we do this one, but these are the ones that we've kind of been keeping an eye on. The RFA signing period, which always occurs right around before the season starts. Gary Harris got paid somewhere in the $20 million per year range, 4 years to, I think it was around $82 million. Nikola Mirotic signed a 2-year contract, right?
Yeah.
How much was his?
Was it 2 years, 28?
Which $14 million per sounds about fair.
So, it seems a little high for somebody who is being nickel and dimed at the end. Alex Len signed his RFA. Norman
Powell.
You mean
his tender. You mean his tender. Means that he is he's almost certainly gone from Phoenix after that.
Oh, yeah. Norman Powell got 4 years, 42. And
that's okay to me. You're not so much a fan of that.
I think, well, that's fair. You think it's a bargain. I think, well, that's all he's going to – he's not going to be – I don't think – he's just going to be who he is.
Yeah, the Harris one, and there's more to come. I mean, the Wiggins one has been, because of the agent being changed for Wiggins, has been kind of hovering over their heads. Jabari Parker, we've heard, there's been radio silence. Joel Embiid, heard nothing. I mean, there's a few from the 2014 class that we're still kind of holding out on, but it's slowly trickling out. The Harris one only really, like, shouted out to people because it's a $20 million per year contract. Which just immediately made people think, is Gary Harris worth that? I mean, people like him.
You think he is.
Not, no, I don't think he's worth $20 million a year. I think he's worth more like 15. Like, I don't think he's worth Batum. I don't think he should be earning something close to what Nicholas Batum makes, if that's fair to say.
I don't know who that's more insulting to.
The one that looks like a small deal because it's more of a more of the smaller contender type of teams, but I think is a big deal for that particular team is the Dante Exum shoulder injury. That gives them no backup point guard after Ricky Rubio other than Raul Neto. I mean, that's a tough one. If Exum, he separated his shoulder in a preseason game, but the damage might be significant to the point where he would be out for the entire season due to surgery.
Yeah, and that's basically what Andrew Wiggins should be looking at of, do I want to keep dragging this extension out? Because if he gets injured and out for the year, that could just be pulled very fast.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a shame for him, and that there goes all his value. There goes his leverage into contracts, and he's going to have to be on a one-year prove-it deal next year. And
this year was his time. This was it. This was going to be the coming-out party, you know, which is a shame.
Everybody said he was ready. He was better. He's looking good. And just, you know, again, for a separated shoulder, that's a...
After coming off of the torn ACL and fully recovering from it, now you got another significant injury. He might be back in the season. We're not sure. It depends on the extent of the injury, which has not been disclosed at this time. But that's pretty much it, unless I'm missing something. Maybe Andrew Bogut signing with the Lakers.
There's nothing really major. The only real tidbit, which now will become interesting, is the carousel of players have stopped. And the only real name ones without jobs are Trey Burke and Monta Ellis.
Burke, there was a rumor that Burke was looking into getting a Thunder contract.
He was
going to
sign it.
Then
he was going to sign it, but then he pulled out. He's the one who pulled out of
it.
Which
was right around the time of the Melo deal.
Yep. So it was very, you know, most people like, okay, Brandon Jennings, I'm just going to go to China. I'm going to go to Europe. But nope, Trey Burke. And then all of a sudden, hey, Utah has an opening. There might be a little cheapo reunion there.
Okay, now let's get to the teams. There's five of them. We go in alphabetical order by the city, of course, like we've been for all the teams. We're going to start here with the Boston Celtics. Adam Murray's Boston Celtics. Adam, is it weird to see a Boston Celtics team that's actually talented this time? Or were they talented last year?
They've been overachieving every year. You look at that roster, it's like, well, how are those guys get first place? How are those guys so good? It's baffling. And then all of a sudden, let's just throw them in the NBA 2K trade checker and see what we could get. And oh, look, we only have, you know, three people who are coming back. Marcus Smart,
Terry
Rozier.
Well, it started with the Gordon Hayward signing where they were trying to, you know, they were dialed in on trying to get him. They got him to commit to the contract, but they had to make the max money work. So they had to unload as many contracts as possible to get to that $30 million number. And that means that Avery Bradley wound up being traded instead of Marcus Smart. Do you still have any regrets about that? Because that was sort of the theory. That was either going to be Smart that was going to have to be unloaded, or it was going to be Bradley that was going to have to be unloaded.
Oh, we always knew it was one of the two, and I always thought Bradley will get you more because you have another year of Smart. Mm-hmm. And, this one thing leads to another and leads to another and leads to another, and then you have the trade for, you know, damaged Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie, and, you know, no matter with the... I don't know, with the Boston trade and, you know, also with the Cantor signing, you had two players who were like, I love the city, I love everything, I'll do everything for him. And it's like, okay, hey, thanks. We love how you were there to you know, for the pitch and everything. We love how you're the face of the franchise and face of the city. Yeah, thanks for playing. You're gone. And it's just the cruel business.
A lot of vengeance factor there for Isaiah when he goes to Cleveland. We're going to be talking about Cleveland really soon anyway. Thomas, 29 points, almost 6 assists. He was a fourth quarter machine, just incredibly efficient offensive numbers. Did have the hip injury late in the postseason, knocked him out of the Cleveland series. Still a concern for Cleveland now. But, I mean, are you going to miss Isaiah Thomas?
Of course. Why wouldn't you? He was the heart and soul of the team. He was the boss, and he was the, you know, like you said, the fourth quarter machine. If he didn't have that run, the team would probably lose every single game. It's just, well, you know, he's like, I'm gonna get paid now, you're gonna pay me. It's like, well, we don't want to pay a 30-year-old undersized guy whose skills are going to diminish, who now has a hip injury which slows people down real fast. So it's one of those business things. Like, yeah, you know, they improved by getting Kyrie. They improved by getting Hayward.
Gordon Hayward, of course.
It's just the problem. There are sort of two problems with this team. Number one, already the worst defense in the league is going to be really, really worse. There's going to be zero rebounding, zero. You think Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown is going to stop anybody? That's not going to happen. They don't know how to play defense yet. So
they were a bad rebounding team anyway.
Yeah, and they're even worse this year. So that's sort of the issue. And then just Al Horford at the center doesn't really inspire anybody. So again, I could say chemistry, but chemistry is sort of a dead issue these days.
Yeah, you mentioned that with the Thunder stuff. For the remaining players actually on roster from last year, you've got Al Horford, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier. Am I missing anybody, or is that it?
Oh, nope,
Abdul Nader, if you want to count him.
Well, he doesn't count. He's still a first-year signee. But, yeah, Marcus Smart is the longest-tenured.
Yeah, he did his main Red Claws campaign. Yeah.
D-League Player of the Year. Yeah, you just have so many new pieces. It's hard to tell how it's going to fix. I don't think any team has turned over as much as this team has. Maybe Miami when the decision came. So it's hard to predict them. All I could pretty much say is, it's going to be just one of those teams you just sort of have to watch and see how it goes. Vegas has them at 56.5. So.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, too. What type of team they're going to be? Brad Stevens' teams are always good offensively. They're good at assists. Their three-point shooting is always pretty good. Defensively, you always worry about that team, especially if you saw them against Cleveland. They just got routed by the Cavaliers, especially from the three-point line. So there's a lot of things with Kyrie being plugged in, with Hayward being plugged in, where offensively, I think they're going to be just fine. But defensively, I still have a number of questions. 56.5, I will go over just because the East is so much worse now.
Oh, I'll go under. I don't think they're just going to lose a couple close games because there's too many. You know, you give Hayward a night off, and it's just, well, you got Jaylen Brown at the two now for 35 minutes. That's just, again, you have a lot of pieces. Yeah, well, they fit, but they're going to have issues. They're going to start off slow, I think.
So you're saying they're going to have the midseason identity crisis. They kind of had one at the start of the season because he struggled to start. Am I right?
Yeah, they're going to have a start of the season. They're going to have them. You know, it's going to be a rough. It's not going to be as easy as it was last year because there's no fourth quarter hero to come and save them. It's just going to, now they're going to have to sort of slog through this. You know, everybody knows who they are. Everybody knows who the weak point is. There's no defensive stopper. So it's just, well, you better hope Morris and Baines.
Yeah, Jay Crowder's gone. Yeah.
You hope Morris and Baines become rebounding kings, so.
I apologize, Ray, but we have a little bit of the transmission issues here. So we're not talking over each other. It's just a little bit of the transmission going on. For who you think they're going to miss the most after Isaiah, I'm going to list them. Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, Amir Johnson, Jonas Jerebko, the rest are kind of miscellaneous. Which one do you think?
They're going to miss Crowder because of his defense. Crowder, you know, offensive. Oh, he was good in the first quarter. He could hit threes, but you know, defensive. You put him on LeBron. You put him on, you know, Draymond. You put him on whoever. You're not putting anybody else on them. So it's just one of those things where you just have to take your pieces, you take your talent, and hope you can create some sort of team defense, you know, like college, like Duke does. You just, we'll just hide the players' flaws and hope we can just sort of clog the lane and just sort of do something. So, okay, we now will move on to the Eastern Conference champions, we shall say.
Yeah, but are they going to continue to be the Eastern Conference champions? This would be the fourth one in a row so that they can continue their death march against the Golden State Warriors.
Yes, I say yes. You probably will say yes. So
you think the Cleveland Cavaliers, who we're talking about here, you think they're going back to the Eastern back to the NBA Finals? You don't think Boston has enough, even with Kyrie jumping ship?
No, because they have the only thing they're going to risk is LeBron being stupid at the beginning and try to do everything himself. Because you know Isaiah Thomas out till December, you know, most likely maybe to All-Star break. But you have Derrick Rose and Jose Calderon to sort of be like, okay, let's just manage it. It's just, if LeBron wants to play 45 minutes a game, they might be doomed. But they sort of added this bench, and they sort of added, you know, Jay Crowder to take a defensive role. They didn't get better, but they've got deeper, which they haven't been before.
The addition of Dwayne Wade, I know he's kind of clicking on, ticking on father time at this point now in his career, but a huge addition for a low bargain, right?
Oh, he's a huge addition because they're only going to expect him to probably play 25 minutes. If he comes in playing 30, okay, we're sort of in trouble. But hey, look, come off the bench, reserve yourself. We're going to have a couple DNP old age, and just, you know, show up for the national TV games. You'll be good.
And that on-court chemistry with LeBron is undeniable. That's what made it work in Miami. Now, that was younger days, but I feel like they can still kind of hit that niche a little bit every now and then, try to create. I mean, and Wade still gets to the free throw line pretty frequently, even at this point in his career. Isaiah Thomas, what's his prognosis at this point? January, December? Is there really any timetable yet?
Yeah, like I just said, he'll be out for many months. That's why the Kyrie trade, you know, wasn't an even trade, as we had mentioned in the hot
takes. It was adjusted to add a second round
pick. Which is meaningless. That's just, okay, we need to sort of save face here. Just dump us a second. We don't care. But yeah, if you're losing the, you know, supposedly the equal part of the trade, and he's going to be out for half the year, and we don't know how strong he'll come back, that's never a good sign. Especially he's going to come back rusty and slow. So,
is this a borrowed season for Isaiah Thomas? Since he's in the last year of his contract,
desperate season for him because this is his 1 year to get paid, and you know he might have just, you know, there was always issues of, well, how are we going to pay him, how long, but he might just be in that Kyle Lowry, we're only going to give you 3 years.
Their biggest subtraction, of course, is Kyrie Irving from the trade to Boston. They lose Derek and Darren Williams, Jordan McRae, James Jones retired. So those guys are somewhat throwaways, to be fair to them. You look at the rest of the roster, even after unloading Kyrie, you look at LeBron James, and I'm talking full strength. LeBron James, Isaiah Thomas, Kevin Love, Dwayne Wade, Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, Derrick Rose, Kyle Korver, Jeff Green, Jay Crowder, Channing Frye, Jose Calderon, Richard Jefferson. That's a loaded team. That's a legit, that could be a 60-win team if it goes right.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, you've hit the point, is you jettison old age people and then you bring players who can play. As horrible as Jeff Green is, he's still better than the, you know, Deron Williams or Derek Williams was.
Yeah, he's better than Derek Williams. And Jose Calderon, even as bad as he is defensively, is still better than Deron Williams is now. Deron Williams was a sieve when he would come into the games against the Warriors.
Yeah, he just fell apart, and old age caught up to him real fast. And
yes.
That's, you know, and you have Ante Zizic, who people are very high on as a prospect, and Seti Osman supposedly is also another high prospect.
I've watched him in a little bit in preseason. He is a true post player. I think he'll find a bit of he'll find a niche there as like a true post player when they want to pop out Love.
Yeah, so you have, they have more depth to compete with Golden State now. It's just, you know, do we really want to see it again for the fourth time?
I mean, but this is going to be an exciting team. Offensively, under Tyronn Lue, that's not a problem. Tyronn Lue runs very good offense, and they were very good offensively last year. We talked about how great they were offensively going into the finals. If the Warriors didn't go on the tear that they did, people would have been talking about how Cleveland was the best offense in the NBA going into the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're still kind of in the blasé mode with Cleveland because of the fact that it's been so repetitive in the Eastern Conference with LeBron kind of being the king of the castle.
Yeah, it's just the team will go as LeBron goes. If LeBron, you know, I'm not going to even comment on Tyronn Lue's quote-unquote coaching because he doesn't do anything. It's just if the team goes as LeBron goes. Like I said, if he wants to play 45 minutes, you're going to now have the consequences of tired LeBron. If he's going to try to take it easy this year, okay, he's going to take it easy. It's just, you know, You know, if, even with even going back to the Isaiah Thomas trade. Well, the trade was fine. Then LeBron wasn't happy when he heard he was going to be out. So then the trade got held up, and you know, LeBron wants this guy, and LeBron wants that guy, and LeBron's not happy with the owner, saying he's going to cut money. And LeBron, it's just, yeah, we get it. LeBron's the GM. He's the coach. He's the everything. So the team will go as he goes.
He's 32 years old, but is he still the best basketball player in the world?
No.
Who is?
No, I think he's taken a step back, and Durant.
You think Durant's the best player in the world?
I think Durant is now number one and LeBron is number two.
Do you think LeBron will try to average a triple-double this year?
I don't think he can with.
I think he could pull it off. But, you know, the rebounding, that would be an issue. I don't know if he can get the double-digit rebounding.
The thing with averaging a triple-double is he needs to be on the court for 40 minutes to do that every night. And that is not in his best interest, or he will come to regret that towards the end when he has to try to keep pulling this out. You know, LeBron has the biggest heart of all the NBA players. And, you know, again, if they get 32, would it be the second best player? But I think
that's a good point. I agree with you. Like, a lot of people give that stigma that he's lost a lot because he's been in the finals so often. But I don't think anyone wants to win more than he does. I think
and that's the thing. Like you say, he's lost a lot. Remember, he is no longer a three. He is a straight four now.
And he's a good one, too. And it's not like Carmelo Anthony, which we talked about earlier in the show, about, well, he might be out of position. No, LeBron could probably play center right now and be the best center in the NBA.
But the thing is, he is no longer the three. He can no longer be that quick step guy he once was. He's now, okay, you're down low, so your moves are predicated on where you're compared.
And that's why the Jay Crowder addition in the trade was so important, because you could put him out there.
Exactly, but... Yeah, it's, what do we say? Vegas has him at 53.5, which should just be an easy over. I don't know why Vegas is...
I'd say 57. Now, the reason why is because they won 51 games last year, but we know why. They were taking it easy in the last month of the season. They were dropping games left and right. So the idea of, well, I guess we can just play it safe and say they'll be 2.5 games better, 2.5 wins better than last year is kind of stupid, because the people who really watch the NBA regular season knows Cleveland was way better than a 51-win team. They were more of a 61-win team.
Yeah, but then again, Cleveland looked at the schedule and said it would be a lot easier if we were number two as opposed to number one. We have an easier road, so they might just do that again this year, saying, well, what's best for us as a team? Well, hey, it's best to drop a few games here and there. Okay, we could do that. LeBron, take a week off.
Okay, let's go ahead and just bounce back to the Warriors, who we had discussed, since this is the Warriors' way. This is their class. I mean, is it fair to say this is their class? They're the gold standard, no pun intended?
Well, they are the gold standard. They're the ones who are paying the highest luxury tax, so they are...
They're the most talented team, probably the most athletic team, the best offensive team, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, but they've the problem with that is they've just gotten a year older, and you've given money to Iguodala, who's now a year older, and he looked a year older last year.
He said in the game that they clinched that if they had to play a game six, he probably wouldn't have been able to do it because physically he was wearing down. That's alarming to me. And then you just signed him to a fairly sized contract, somewhere, what, in the $17 million per year range?
I don't know what it was, but I knew it was like 3 years. That's a... You sure?
Well, he was playing hardball with the Warriors for a couple of weeks there, where he made them think he was going to go to the Lakers or the Spurs, get a pretty big contract elsewhere. So he drove a hard bargain, and that's when they came to the agreement that they did.
Yeah, and he would have gotten paid. It's just, you're just relying on everything coming up on all heads. If Durant goes down or Curry goes down, you're now starting Iguodala, and there's no bench.
And remember, Durant with the knee injury against the Wizards, I think it was Marcin Gortat that hit the back of his knee. He was like a fraction away from busting, like tearing an ACL, and he would have been out for the year.
So yeah, that's the thing that always goes. Well, if there's one injury, to this team, I don't think this year they can take one player being out.
Yeah, but the game plan worked for the Warriors, not just in the finals with winning the championship, Kevin Durant winning his, you know, winning his first one, winning a finals MVP to go with it. They also won in the offseason, not only with the Iguodala signing, even though they probably, even though they had his bird rights, but for to put him on that, to give him $18 million a year for 3 years is just, ooh, I don't know. That might come back to bite them. But the Kevin Durant one, he did take less. So that was that gave them the leeway to not only re-sign Sean Livingston and David West and Zaza Pachulia and JaVale McGee, they were also able to bring in a couple of additions like Nick Young and Omri Caspi. They did the ones they had to unload that off of the championship team were Ian Clark and James Michael McAdoo and Matt Barnes. But do you feel like Young and Caspi, who are the two additional veterans, that they'll be able to do anything positive for the Warriors that is noticeable?
Oh, those are quality backup signings, especially Caspi. He's underrated as just a decent backup.
He could be a good backup to Durant.
He's a solid straight up backup. The only problem is you have no big men backup. So Pachulia plays 18 minutes a game. He's never on the court. So you know you just go up with your small ball lineup. And again, eventually it's gonna
have to be Damian Jones time.
Well, Kevon Looney time came and went, so James Michael McAdoo time came and went. It's just, you know,
they already have their backup for Clay and Patrick McCaw.
You have your window. Your window is wide open. Everybody expects him to do it this year. It's just as long as his team can stay healthy, it's your championship.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of Jordan Bell? Can he do what Patrick McCaw did?
Oh, he's good. He was great in Oregon, but good luck in Santa Cruz.
I mean, do you think he could be kind of like mini Draymond, kind of learn under his wing, try to be more of a defense? He's not the jump shooter Draymond Green is now. Now, Draymond could not make a three when he came into the league. Jordan Bell is not that kind of player. Jordan Bell is more of like all inside. So I loved him at Oregon. Real bouncy player, good shot blocker. He's got all of those traits. So, you know, the thing that's always been sneaky and I've always talked about with Golden State and that people take for granted because of the offense and the shooting is that they're such an athletic team.
Yeah, they are. But, you know, like just to go back to your Jordan Bell thing with Caspi, with David West still being there, he's not going to be on the court as a rookie to it. Patrick McCaw was there because there was no other backup.
It was either him
shooting.
Or Clark, yeah.
And Clark is gone. He has his ring, and now he's somewhere. I don't even remember.
He's in New Orleans.
Oh, no wonder I don't remember. So, again, just this team needs to stay healthy and the easy ride. Vegas has him at 67.5. I think this is going to be an under because it's the West.
I say under too. I think it'll be a little. I think it'll be a little closer. And I just feel like even though there's been all these rules that have been set about the DNPs due to pending with the national television schedule, I still think you're going to get a lot of DNPs, a lot of rests.
Well, you're going to have rests. The problem came. There was always rest. You're always going to have rest. The problem was teams were resting all four starters. Mm-hmm. It used to be, we'll rest one player today, we'll rest one player the next game. Now it's just, fuck it, we're just going to take the night off. And that's sort of the screw you to the league. Like, well, okay, yeah, you can have people.
Well,
you
the Warriors off. Infamously did it against the Spurs on an ABC night game, correct?
Yeah, and then the Spurs did it as well, and it's just like, well,
the Spurs did it in against the Miami Heat on TNT. That was when David Stern was still the commissioner, and that's where the whole debate started because David Stern lashed out big time at Popovich and the Spurs and R.C. Buford, and they fined the shit out of him for no showing a Thursday game.
Yeah, because there's no reason to give your whole starting lineup the night off. Mm-hmm. You could give one or two down. You just don't be, really, Steph and Durant and Klay Thompson and Draymond all need rest on the same day? Come on.
And it's not a revolt against the 82-game schedule. That's been around since the 1960s? I mean, that's not the problem. The problem is just the idea of maintaining health for the postseason run because the postseason is where your money's made, which is a fair gripe. But I mean, it's still what we're saying is that there will be more staggered DNPs. Golden State might take it easy. They might feel like they've kind of gotten ahead of the horse and they can lag in at the end of the season. So I don't know if 67 wins or more is going to be. They could still win 67 games.
And it's funny. You know what the cure to a DM, you know, DMPing your whole team is? Just play them 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, hey, we're not resting. We're just going to play them half. Oh,
give them the Keith Bogans role. You know what I mean by the Keith Bogans spot. When you, like, you start the game, you play the first 10 minutes, and then you don't play again.
Yeah, that's about it, the ceremonial starter role.
Yes.
It's just you give them preseason minutes.
Like, yeah, well, that's what preseason is, yeah.
You know, yeah, Keith Bogans just, hey, you're you know, like the Beard Johnson, okay, you're up for 6 minutes, okay, we'll see you in the last 6 minutes of the game.
We got two more West teams, so I'm not going to try to do spoiler alert here, but are the Golden State Warriors going to lose the Western Conference?
Who are we moving to next?
The Houston Rockets are next here. They had 55 wins, which actually I thought the Houston Rockets overachieved.
Well, it was just Harden being Harden, and, you know, I'm going to just score everything. And, you know, D'Antoni's system, just shoot a three. We don't care. Just go out, shoot a three.
It was all threes all the time. They were first in, they were top in three-pointers made. Their percentage was middle of the pack. Offensive efficiency, they were second. Points per game, they were second. Field goal percentage, 11th. Defensively, it's a Mike D'Antoni team. What do you think is going to happen? They were a good rebounding team. But after that, not really that much to write home about defensively.
Yeah, and they gutted their team too. And it's just, okay, yeah, you bring in Chris Paul.
Or did they? Because if you really look at it, yes, they put all those additions on those smaller contracts so that they could get over the cap, so that they could activate the mid-level exception, which they did to sign P.J. Tucker with. But the only guys they lost were the guys that they lost in the Chris Paul trade directly to the L.A. Clippers.
Yeah, but those, the you know, you lose Lou Williams and Patrick Beverley, which were two main guys to your success last year.
Your two best guards after Harden, arguably.
Yeah, and, you know, Lou just came on the second team. He's just kept shooting with, you know, with Eric Gordon. So it just kept the assault just nonstop. It's like, yeah, you bring back, you know, you have P.J. Tucker, who you said was injured, and that's why you got a discounted deal, and Bam Mute is now very old.
He followed Paul. Didn't he play with Paul with the Clippers last year?
Yep, and you got Tariq Black from the Lakers, who is a nice signing. So, yeah, you have depth. You have as good. It's just this team. It's just another team of, well, we have mismatched people, and, okay, Harden and Paul, can you guys play together? Yeah, but... you know, you're still with Ryan Anderson, who's just going to be who he is. And, well, you cost Melo because you couldn't move his contract. And it'd just be a lot of the same, just shoot threes over and over and over. And
Do you have any worries about the Chris Paul James Harden marriage? Do you think that it can work in pick and roll? Do you think that Harden can accept being an off ball too, or Paul being an off ball point if Harden can't find an opening in a pick and roll?
I don't think it's going to matter too much because you're talking about the D'Antoni system, which is not pick and roll, pick and roll. No, they just shoot three. They just, okay, run up and shoot the first three you see.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the pick and roll? Where is the let's use the entire clock? Let's get to an offensive set. When's the last time you heard D'Antoni and offensive set in the same sentence?
Mid-range is like, totally like eliminated. Now, Paul is a fantastic mid-range shooter, so he can wreak havoc there if everyone is like, if they're doing four out, one in, and everybody is packed in tight or defending the perimeter. Paul can have a field day if his mid-range game is still working as well as it did with the Clippers.
Exactly, and it should. It's just, you know, again, like with Boston, you just have this new talent. We don't know how it's going to mesh up because you've replaced, you know, a large chunk of what your team was. You replaced Patrick Beverley, who couldn't shoot for shit and was great offensively, for Chris Paul, who's going to be offensively great, but defensively,
he's slowing down. He's still very good and very gritty, but he's slowing down. The other problem with Chris Paul is more of an inherent one. It's sort of like one of those take the good with the bad kind of things with these superstars, is that can Chris Paul deliver in the clutch? Is he too overbearing as a leader? Will James Harden be willing to relieve any leadership duties to Chris Paul?
And that's the, again, chemistry is now. Chemistry is so 2000s.
Yeah, but it does come back to get you in the playoffs. It does.
And then we will revisit this in the playoffs because you know there's going to be some trades going down. There'll be some panic trades. There will be the New Orleans fire sale.
I think Trevor Rees is going to get unloaded if PJ Tucker winds up taking his place in those.
And that's the thing is, you have pieces that can be moved, or maybe PJ Tucker just is the odd man out.
Yeah.
Or you know,
do you think Paul can find a good relationship? He's had a good lob partner pretty much everywhere he's been, New Orleans, LA. Do you think he can do the same with Clint Capela?
Of course, Clint Capela's gonna be the happiest. You know, he's gonna just be easy buckets for him that weren't the way that Harden was gonna give him. Most of, you know, if you watch Clint Capela, most of his was just sort of putbacks or just sort of garbage mop up stuff. So now,
not Zuki though, or is it Kizu? Is it Kizu or Zuki? It's written as is that how it is with Chinese players where the last name is first and the first name is last?
Yes.
Okay, then it's Zuki. I don't know. He's a big guy. I mean, but he might
he's 7'1". He's, you know, it'll just be slow developing minutes, and you know he'll see a lot of time in the Rio Grande, mm-hmm. Rio Valley Vipers.
Rio Grande Valley Vipers. Yeah. Nene is officially in the over 36 rule phase, which means you're old. But can he still provide? He got injured. He was so old that when he got injured in the playoffs, he didn't even go to the training room. He went straight to the hospital. I'm not trying to make fun of that. I just found that funny that he gets hurt. He doesn't even go to the training facility. He has to go straight to a doctor.
He knows who he is. And, you know, it's like I said, with Zuki, he's not going to get any minutes because you have Nene on a night. You know, he's still functional for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, again, this is regular season talk about. We don't need to run any plays. We don't need to have any strategy. Just go out, shoot your thing. And, you know, Vegas has him at 55.5, which should just be an easy over, I think.
That's what they won 55 wins last year. I would definitely say over. I'd say somewhere around 57 to 58. That would be my fair game. You know, I feel pretty confident about the overs and unders in this class. You know, I don't know if Vegas did as good of a job with splitting the difference on these. I mean, Golden State, I thought they did a good job. But,
well, I don't think it's hard to take into account superstar trades, which are so many.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just sort of went of, well, they were at this last year, and you're sort of averaging out a bunch of other teams. And sort
is it possible that it all falls apart for Houston? They just get off to a really bad start.
Oh, yeah. It just, if Harden goes down, well, there goes, you know, your dynamic is already gone, so.
Mm-hmm.
Who's their backup to? Eric Gordon?
Yeah.
So,
and then behind him, I think it's going to be, well, Tim Quarterman? I don't even know. It's kind of concerning.
Yeah.
Isaiah Taylor is sort of your de facto backup to Chris Paul. They really, really like Isaiah Taylor. They kept him around purposely because they wanted to keep him in the fold. Onowaku with the underhanded free throws is still there. Is that what he's always going to be known for? The guy who shoots free throws underhanded?
Well, he's not known for anything else, so. He's not
and that's really, why we're in that situation with the
he's
bench.
He's not really hitting the court too much, but.
It's not that the bench is bad, it's just kind of innocuous. Like, you look at it and you're like, oh, Demetrius Jackson's a nice player. Oh, Tariq Black's a nice player. But can they really mesh well with Paul and Harden? That's the biggest question. So.
Yep, and then finally wrapping things up, we move to the elder statesman.
The San Antonio Spurs. Let's just get this straight out. Their over-under is 54.5. Las Vegas really don't know Greg Popovich that well because they always go over. This is a very confident over, correct?
It seems like 54. Like, well, yeah, they didn't improve. If you put Rockets at 55, then it's like, well, yeah, that's sort of, they should just be a step below the Rockets and. Yeah, they didn't improve at all.
Well, they also re-signed Pau Gasol to a fairly big contract, which people really were just stunned by, you know.
That was you couldn't get anything for him. You're thinking of moving Aldridge, you couldn't get anything. You re-signed Gasol to the same money for 2 years, you couldn't, and Rudy Gay, who doesn't fit at all, you get him, and you lose, you know, young guys with Deadman and Simmons, and.
Yes. Well, Jonathan Simmons, I think they will miss.
Deadman is replaced by Joffrey LaVerne, so.
Joffrey LaVerne's one of the worst players in the NBA. One of the worst. He's big, but that's all he's got.
I wouldn't. Okay. That was very quick for you to come out with that, so.
Well, Rudy Gay's coming back from the torn Achilles. I mean, obviously he'll be a step behind, but what can he give the Spurs. I mean, they always find that juice out of those veterans. Like, what can he do for them?
They find that juice, but it's just, where is he going to fit on that team? Like, that second unit is just going to have to be a whole different type. He doesn't, his style of play doesn't fit the Spurs. But yeah, you never bet against Popovich. It's just, you know, the team is just old now. You still have Parker. You still have Ginobili. Is he still there? Yeah.
Yes, he is. He signed a 1-year deal.
Goodbye.
This might be it for him, right?
Yeah. So you still have these people, and okay, well, we need to get the younger guys into the mix. It's just, well, they're not ready to hand over the keys, and yeah, you don't bet against Pop. It's just this team doesn't seem like, this is the first year I think we look at a paper and it's like, yeah, I don't see how they're gonna really compete with the Golden State this year.
Always good defensively. They were first in defensive efficiency. They were second in points allowed, second in block shots, 10th in rebounding. Experience, like we just talked about, they were fourth last year. And I don't think that's going to take a hit because they added Rudy Gay. You know, they even added guys like Darren Hilliard, who has been playing for the Detroit Pistons for a little while. Matt Costello played last year in the NBA. Kyle Anderson, is this now or never?
I guess so. You were high on him initially, but I think
because
you're starting to sour.
Because I thought he could work as a taller point forward, but it just never really came to fruition. DeJounte Murray sort of jumped in and took that right away. I think. Do you think they can rely on Murray as a backup to Mills with Tony Parker out?
Yeah, but didn't they draft another point guard?
Derek White out of Colorado. He's more of a spring guard, though.
Okay, so. Yeah, I think that's looking more towards next year because, you know, point guards are usually slow to develop, and he was a big project coming out of Washington, so.
I think that was the reason they picked up London Parentes, just to see how he was in preseason, just in case they needed another point guard. I mean, is the Parker injury and his absence that concerning, or do you think they can play well without him?
It's the regular season, so they can coast. They should be able to coast on, well, the East Coast, you know, feasting off East Coast teams and the lower echelon West Coast ones, just to, you know, we're not saying they're going to be out of the playoffs. It's just, I think now with Oklahoma City's rise, Oklahoma City might be taking on San Antonio for that number three spot.
Yeah, but I mean, then there's just that confidence factor of who do you like best in a postseason matchup, and you always, even if they lose, you always go with the Spurs.
Well,
and
yeah,
if they
then,
lose, it's a surprise.
Agree with that is who's below them. Do you think they're going to be, you know, the Clippers or the Portland? Do you think they're going to be worse than them? No.
Yeah,
there's such a drop off after that now, you know, rising Thunder. There's no.
I really like Davis Bertans and Bryn Forbes. I thought that was very, very good scouting that they did. And they showed some signs of life. Do you think they can do a little bit more for them?
Well, I'm glad to see you finally came around to the Davis Bertans trade, because I was there from the beginning. I'm like,
24
he's good.
Years
this,
old.
This, this Latvian kid, he's going to be good. You're like, I don't know. He's just another Euro guy.
Yeah. Well, they do that sometimes with the Euros. Like, remember when they had last year, they had Nikola Lopravatola, right?
Yeah.
And nothing really came from him. They cut him.
They had him. They had the one, their first-round pick, was it Jean-Livio Charles, who they just cut immediately?
Livio Jean-Charles, yeah. He had some knee. He tore his knee, like, immediately after he got drafted. And, like, all of everything that was good for him was gone. The Kawhi Leonard quad injury, is that an issue? I know this is sort of hot take-ish if you listen to this, like, months later, but is this a problem?
No, because it's regular season, and they should be able to coast with what they have.
Kawhi Leonard can't say he's the best small forward in the NBA because you're still in a universe with LeBron James and Kevin Durant. But like, where is he a top five player?
Oh yeah,
best defensive player in the league.
Best defensive player in the league.
Even better than Gobert and Draymond Green.
Should, you know, it's one of those, like, you always hear, like, how come a defensive player is never the MVP of anything? But he really should just be, his defense. He should be an MVP candidate.
Yeah, I mean, he's taken that step to, because I don't think anyone had that question about Kawhi, even the last year Tim Duncan was there when they brought in LaMarcus Aldridge, of can Kawhi step in? Well, obviously, yes, he can. And, I mean, he's proved that the year before this past one. And this past one, he averaged 26 points a game and 1.8 steals. I mean, he was the man. LaMarcus Aldridge is not the man, but, you know, there's already been rumors that him and Popovich had to have a come-to-Jesus meeting. Do you have any worries there?
When the regular season will come, he'll play. He's fine. It's just he's not happy because he's old and he didn't get his ring like he thought he would.
Mm-hmm.
Because Golden State came and stole all the
thunder. No pun intended.
I tried to. I saw it coming. I tried to avoid it, but you never bet against Pop. But this seems like the year. Like this is, I think, the last year we see of this sort of group. We can't keep this together another.
You're talking
Parker
about the Leonard Aldridge nucleus. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, the era has to come to a close.
Mm-hmm. Well, the era that's going to come to close first is the Parker, Ginobili, Gasol, Danny Green one. That'll go first.
Well, I'm saying the whole thing has to come to a close because right now they're slowly encroaching on Memphis territory. Because
mm-hmm.
Memphis kept it together for.
We already previewed them, but I think Memphis might crash. Like that might
help. Yeah, because they kept it together way too long.
The Troy Daniels unloading due to the tax issues really worries me. Now I'm starting to think, okay, they can't even add talent, and they're going to get worse. You know, I don't think the Spurs are in that situation. They've been very good. Well, leading into the Aldridge signing, they were very, very good with balancing out their salary cap. That's why they were able to be such a deep team when they won the championship a few years ago. That's sort of become a little more lopsided because of the Gasol re-signing, Parker looking like dead money until the end of this year, the Aldridge signing, Kawhi getting paid $18 million. Now it's sort of lopsided in terms of salaries.
Yeah, it's just... This new money is sort of they haven't benefited from it yet.
No, not yet. I mean they're sort of in that mode where RC Buford's always fishing for the deal. Like Rudy, like the rumor was that they were gonna go after Chris Paul. Well, it quickly died out either because Paul didn't think the money was there for him or because the Spurs just wanted to go for shopping for a deal like they always do and they got Rudy Gay instead. But I mean, at what point are they gonna go for broke again like they did a couple years ago when they signed Aldridge?
I don't know. That's the question.
That's going to be that's the big deal there. I mean, I don't think that a big trade is in the works ever for the Spurs. That's just it's not in their DNA. They like to build from within. It's sort of that military mentality that Popovich has always had, and it's always worked. But I am very, very confident going over 54.5 wins. That is like the most confident I've ever been for any of these teams. I think that was just a real miscalculation by Las Vegas.
Fair enough. So how do you rank them all out now?
Okay. For the number five team, I would go with this is actually hard because these are all like great teams. Houston would be fifth. I would have San Antonio fourth because I worry about the Kawhi injury issues. Boston third, Cleveland second, Golden State first.
Well, I would have Golden State first. Cleveland second, Houston, San Antonio third, and then Boston far, far five.
I just feel a little more confident in Stevens being able to mold them fairly quickly after about a couple of months of push and pull. And they'll just jettison up to about 55 to 56 wins.
Okay, and it's just, you know, again, a defensive super liability. But, you know, we all agree it's Golden State's year. So now, as our usual wrap-up for the season comes, now it's prediction time.
Now, how far with the predictions do you want to go? Do you want to go with awards? Do you want to go with
just
the finals?
Simple award. Well, finals, we all know, is going to be Cleveland, Golden State.
I'll actually go with Boston and Golden State. I'll go the other route. I'll go with Boston and Golden State.
All right, those with common sense know it'll be Cleveland, Golden State, and then the Dreamers will say Boston. Okay, so MVP.
LeBron James. LeBron's going to average 30 points and 9 rebounds and 11 assists.
Okay, I can't really argue.
I would love to pine for. I mean, there's so many that you could go for. We talked about Kawhi Leonard just now. Kevin Durant, if he stays healthy, is going to put up some mega numbers. I don't know about Irving. Do you think Irving can really be like put the numbers together that Isaiah Thomas did?
Well, if you think they're going to go to the finals, then he probably should have that. Here, how about this for just a random dark horse? How about Giannis?
I was just thinking about Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, if the jump shot is there, I mean, he could be in that 26.8 rebound, 8 assist mode. Like, he could really take over. Do you think that would be enough, or do you think that with Russell Westbrook that the bar has been set?
Well, because Westbrook's numbers are going to go down because George and Carmelo are going to have touches.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to be averaging a triple-double anymore. The same thing with Harden averaging his numbers.
A super duper dark horse is Kristaps Porzingis, but I don't know if that's going to be in the cards. I mean, and most improved is not a legit. I don't think that's legit for Porzingis. His numbers were too good to start with.
Okay, so who do you have for most improved?
Ooh, you almost stumped me there, man. You give me yours and you give me just a second. I'll think about it.
All right. I'm going to say the easiest sort of pick would be Michael Beasley, who is now assuming the Carmelo Anthony role. They need somebody to play 40 minutes and somebody who's going to shoot. Well, you have somebody who likes to shoot and will have no problem playing 40 minutes. So there's no reason he shouldn't be stepping up to major minutes. You know, again, last year it was Giannis who had it. And you're like, yeah, he's not going to get it. He's already good. But turns out he got even better.
Oh, man, you got me. You know what? Jaylen Brown. I'll go with Jaylen Brown with the Celtics. Because if you look at Jaylen Brown's numbers in the regular season on paper, they weren't that good. They were passable, but they weren't good. Brown's going to be in a situation where he's going to start a lot of games on a good team.
Okay, another person who could have gone is D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, maybe Rodney Hood.
Rodney Hood is also another. You could pick him or... Dennis Schroeder.
No, the Hawks are going to be the worst team in the NBA. I can't do MIP for a team that's like in the bottom. I can't do it. Rookie of the Year.
That should be Simmons or Dennis Smith.
I don't think it'll be Fultz. I think you're right. I think it's going to be Simmons. Did you see him in preseason? He looked pretty good.
He looked good. I saw
Fultz. He was ready. He looked like he was ready to play.
Yeah, because he's had a year of conditioning and a year of, you know, watching.
That happened, well, we talked about this before. That happened with Blake Griffin, and he came out, like, firing when he joined the Clippers as a real rookie, like when he was able to play his rookie season. And I think with Simmons, that might happen with the Sixers. Dennis Smith's going to get a lot of minutes, of course. We talked about that over and over. Fultz, we'll see. You know, I mean, Fultz is going to get a lot of starters' minutes, too, in Philadelphia, so that's something to keep an eye on. The next one, Defensive Player of the Year. I'll just play it safe and I'll go with Gobert.
I will stick with Kawhi.
Okay. Are we missing any of the awards? There's a sixth man, but Lord knows who the sixth man's even going to be this year. You know how they like to do that with their benches. They like to gimmick them.
So it should be Eric Gordon or Tristan Thompson, really.
You think Tristan Thompson's going to come off the bench? Have they already announced?
That's what they said is going to happen. They said Love's going to be the center and...
I hope that works for their sake.
And yep, that's basically sort of, you know, to echo the starting sentiments of the episode of there's just so many moving pieces, even Cleveland. Well, what do you do now? Okay, you're moving Tristan Thompson to the bench because Love, you've mysteriously, you know, you hate him, try to get rid of him. Oh, he's our starting center. He's wonderful. We love him now.
Well, you have to get into your foxhole. You have to like, you know what? What about no way? I was thinking Wade for most improved, but he averaged 18 points a game. I don't know if that's really possible. Maybe Bobby Portis. Maybe our friend Bobby Portis. My friend Steve Willey showed me a picture of a preseason starting lineup for the Bulls, and he said, Andrew, what the hell is going on with this? And I couldn't
just
say anything.
Justin Holiday, Levine, Denzel.
Anybody can go to the sunken place to go to our discussion there. But I mean, are you going to stick to it that the Bulls are the worst, or did you have another one that was the worst?
Oh, the Bulls are just—you look at that, Rod.
We're going to have to bet $5 on this. I say the Hawks. You say the Bulls.
Now that Dunn is out for 2 to 4 weeks,
pinky finger. Is that what happened?
Yeah, he had badly dislocated something, and it was like 90-degree angle. They said and. It was just ugly.
Where's
so he's
32. I don't know where the inspiration comes from, but I haven't seen 32 since Shaquille O'Neal with the Magic, right? How many other 32s do you remember in the NBA right now?
Oh, there were a lot of them. I just what's Anthony Towns?
Well, there's Magic Johnson, of course, but that was like,
oh, Kevin McHale, and
it just like stuck out to me when I was like watching a guard go to the hole. And he's wearing number 32. I was like, who is that? I was like, oh, that's Chris Dunn. And then he got hurt in that game. So,
give me, just talk for 10 seconds, and I will get you your answer.
I'll give you one more MIP, okay? And I'll end it. Aaron Gordon.
All right. So
that'll be the end.
Now you're going to feel stupid. Who's number 32? Blake Griffin and Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, they ain't bad. They ain't bad.
So, by the way. Who has 32? Nobody has 32. Oh, yeah, there's those two guys who are good.
By the way, the fear that Blake Griffin will not be ready for the season turned out to be not much at all. Looks like he's very motivated to be the star in L.A. again.
Yeah, but there's still time for him to get injured.
Oh, you have so much confidence in people getting hurt and having bad dystopian things happen to their teams. It's just so sad.
Well, that's the Clippers' way. We, as much as we want to be happy for them, they always seem to have that dystopian somehow.
They're all in different clusters of teams that we previewed in different installments. So there's just a lot there. You know, I think the season's going to be interesting. You know, the top here with, and if you want to nudge the Thunder in there because of the recent trade, that's fine. You got a lot of big boys up there at the top with some pretty loaded talent, and with all the turnover, roster wise in the bottom and in the middle, there's just a lot there that to take in. There's a lot that you can take in and say, man, there's a lot of intriguing matchups pretty much every night in the NBA.
Yep, and just before we wrap up, I just want to give this quick note in case you hear lots of background noise as part of my outdoor, you know, porch, screen door, screen house series. Yeah. It is raining terribly hard here all of a sudden, which didn't start at the beginning of this episode, and I've already set up. So if you hear lots of loud rain in the background, it's because there's
on top
lots
of that. On top of that, we had Hurricane Nate. Not really, not as much pass over us as pass around us. It's kind of like Carmelo Anthony when he gets the ball. He doesn't exactly give you the ball. You just happen to get the ball when he's around it. You know.
I think they should officially allow Melo to wear his hoodie on the court.
Just along with the other ones who think that the earth is flat. Do you think as a sign of unity, all the Celtics players will now think the earth is flat?
Well, they all for the preseason game, they all wore their white big leggings and white, you know, their big white underwear, their long johns, so
I saw that Michigan State was playing Michigan in a football game, and it was in a monsoon. It was a monsoon game, if you know, like it was like pouring, raining. All Michigan State, all white long sleeves. It was just weird to watch football players wear that. But that's the new style: the leggings and the elbow sleeves that extend all the way to the
compression
shoulder.
Compression everywhere.
It's like they want to feel like they're in a sauna all the time while they're playing. It's just very, very strange. But listen, these medical people, these medical tape makers, they know what they're talking. They know what they're doing. They say it works. Then I guess it works. You know?
All right. Final thoughts.
That's it. I'm looking forward to the season. I mean, four of the five teams we talked about: Boston, Cleveland, Golden State, Houston. That's the first night of the NBA. You're off the run. So it's going to be some exciting stuff. But on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. We'll see you again as the season gets going. Take care, guys.